Then he said to me, I created the loneliness, the voids, the groan. This groan will capture the full face of God and will consume the earth.
My soul longs for you. My soul longs for you. Nothing else will do.
Back again to this third part of the Groaning Creation series, brought to you by Brenda Price Ministries podcast. We know you'll enjoy as you listen to the depth of this revelation. As we talk about what the Bible means when it says, all of creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God.
Well, we're going to start today talking about how we have a promise and a command before us. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to pray for harvesters to go out. And these are spiritual births. This praying for the world, praying for the harvest, this is something we have to travail forth. Just as natural children are travailed forth. The church has lost the travail of yesteryear. I can assure you that the Holy Spirit still causes humans that are in deep prayer to groan and push. The great missionary K.P. Yohannan has reached thousands and has raised up more indigenous evangelists than any one man that I know of, and his sentiments have been known to be along the lines of this kind of thinking. If hell is real, and after reading the Bible he became convinced of it, then there is a real dilemma. Since it is real, then almost everyone we pass every day is going there. He realized that he must give every breath, every dollar, or Indian rupee, because he was from India, every waking moment to try and stop as many as possible from going to hell. Everyone should get one of his books, Road to Reality and Revolution in World Missions. He went on to raise up many who have given their whole lives to this cause. You can bet that someone who cares little for himself and so much for a lost world is in prayer, groaning for the lost. I remember the first time I heard groaning in prayer. A friend of mine had come to Florida to visit, and she asked me if I wanted to pray, and of course I was thrilled to. And after a few minutes of intense prayer, she began to groan, and she was on her elbows and knees, and I recognized the sound, of course, of I'd had children. It's kind of the sound when you're in transition, that brief period before the baby crowns. I didn't know how to relate to this because I'd never heard someone respond in prayer like that. It sounded like a woman having a baby, and I could understand the concept of bringing something out of the spirit into the physical, but this was new to me to hear this kind of prayer. So I went to the Lord and I asked him to show me, is this from you? Is this kind of prayer from you? And so the next day I said, Lord, if that is from you, then I want you to have someone call me that I haven't heard from in a long time. Someone that it would be just unthought of for them to call me. And so sure enough, the following day, I got a phone call. And it was a friend of mine who was backslid. She found out she had cancer, and she was really seeking to come back to the Lord. And I was able to minister to her. And then I realized, you know, that is how souls come into the kingdom. So the next day, I asked my friend, can we pray together? And I yielded myself into groaning. And it took some time for me to give into that, but I felt the Lord was pleased. And I went home, and I began to realize that this was deep prayer and that I needed to do it. The Lord had already answered my fleece. And, you know, Jesus wants the outward display of the Father. And when he left, it was no longer an outward system. There was no physical Jesus to see and touch and hear. So this need of communication and intimacy took a different form. It went into the womb of the church. It grew and was birthed. And it's now visible again. But only through his human agents, or as the Bible calls it, his vessels, can this happen. That is why the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is Jesus and the Spirit of God. And we are the earthen vessels. Just as he divided the loaves and the fishes to where two fish became many and a few loaves became much, so now his presence has been extended through us. Instead of one Jesus walking in Israel, we have him in these earthen vessels walking the complete compass of the earth. And each generation has a responsibility to birth the believers of their time. This continues the process to the next generation. And without these new births, society will end. We are in the light. We are the light of the world, and without us, the world would already have been plunged into darkness and destruction. When I read John 16:23, I begin to see what Jesus was saying when he told us to realize we were in travail. This form of prayer causes us to have a clear pathway to the Father, and we no longer have to go through a priest. God wanted this direct communication, so the Son made the provision for it. Scripture reads as thus, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, 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 I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." See, the outcome would produce a people who would not ask Jesus in the same way as we did when he was on earth. But we could grow into the place where we understood that the Father wants us to carry the name as the Son carried the name. And as we cleanse ourselves and become available to the Lord, we can be ushered into the throne room and ask the Father himself in the name of the Son. Do you see the difference? We can reach God directly because of our connection with the Son. Because the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness is there to intercede for us and make room for us in the throne room. And all the wonderful things that he's promised. But the veil was rent that was between the Father and us. And the veil was the flesh of Jesus that had to be torn. See, the veil that was before the ark, if you read and understand that there was a veil between the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, and the holy place. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent by the hand of God. Now, there was an earthquake at the same time, and the Jews thought that the earthquake had done it. But the Father was making a statement. He was saying, "I have now opened the Holy of Holies, and I want my people to come in." And we go through the torn curtain or the blood and flesh of the crucified Lord into that Holy of Holies. And I don't want you to ever forget the price that was paid and is enacted on our behalf that we can go to the throne room. What a precious Jesus. What a precious Calvary. Now we can fellowship with his suffering, and we can mourn, we can weep with him and bring souls into the kingdom, and we can make the way plain for all men so that they too may go into the throne room. We have sorrow now, but a man-child will be born. Jesus will be born into the hearts of this heathen world in this last hour. The Bible says, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Could this be the man-child of Revelations, the birthing of Jesus through the sold-out church who carries him everywhere they go? Is this what Paul meant when he said, "I travail and birth again until Christ be formed in you"? You must develop him in full stature if we hope to be the sons of God that are being formed. The Bible calls it the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And I talk about that third fullness in my book, The Eternal Unveiling. And until the womb of the church develops a full-term gospel, we're going to continue to give birth to preemies. That means premature babies, and many of them will not make it. So let's read our scripture in John. It says, "She, the woman giving birth, remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." See, he's born by the groan. He's birthed in the heart of mankind because of our travail. Hallelujah. We don't always know in the natural what we are giving birth to. It could be a boy or it could be a girl. And in the spirit, there are many more things that we give birth to. And like in the natural, we are not always aware of the substance of our prayers. But we are birthing things as we spend time in his presence and travail before him. Some of this knowledge is held in reserve until this time to reveal it. And I know from experience that when I spend seasons in prayer, it comes to light when I preach or minister. Suddenly my heart is more aware of direction and what he wishes to reveal to his people as I stand kind of in the stead of Christ. I mean, he's talking through me, but I'm just a receptacle that he's moving through. And these great things are created in secret, but one day they will all be displayed before a groaning people as he turns their sorrow into joy. The desire to be close to him is what we feel in our heart that causes to desire fulfillment. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'd like to break that down to what these things mean. Paul said, I keep under. That means to hit under the eye, to disable and subdue. So Paul's saying, I hit myself, I disable myself, I subdue myself, my body, and I bring it into subjection. And that means to be a slave driver to the flesh, to enslave it, to make it do what God wants it to do, and not the other way around. It continued to say, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway means unapproved, rejected, worthless. Well, let's look at Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This scripture describes the purpose of the groan. The first part of it talks about a people that fully expect, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. So what is the earnest expectation of us creatures? We're waiting for something. Can't you feel it as the earth heaves, earthquakes and volcanoes? Can't you feel? See, people are expecting something or hoping for something that will take them where they need to be. They're awaiting a day that a group of end-time believers will be manifested, the bride of Jesus. It will be shown to a waiting church and played out before a rebellious world. These are no ordinary Sunday morning Christians. They will not be those who have used Jesus as a life enhancement. It's not for those who want to hang on to their entertainment, their joy of fun and games, nor to those who have not learned to crucify their flesh. This will be a people with one focus whose eyes are single to the glory of God. They are waiting, they are looking, they're committing all their energy into producing the sons of God. I don't know how massive this army is going to be, but like their predecessors, they will turn the world upside down with their preaching and demonstration of the power of God. This scripture tells us, the scripture in Romans 8:19, that these sold out ones are expecting earnestly. Again, let's use this as an analogy of pregnancy. At first, we can't see what's growing inside, and sometimes it takes several months for it to be even apparent that we're carrying something. And I remember wanting to experience a feeling of my baby inside of me. So I laid on a hard floor when I was maybe 6-8 weeks pregnant, wanting to feel the baby. And sure enough, I could feel a little kind of hard ball. Then came my second appointment with the doctor, and I'll never forget hearing the heartbeat. I tell you, it makes you cry. You don't know why you're crying. You just can't help it. It seems incredible to you that a life is growing inside. And I can tell you that I was earnestly expecting. I could hardly think of anything else that whole time. And with each of my three children, every new sign of life was a step closer to seeing what was yet unrevealed. And in those days, we did not know what we were getting. It was one of two things. We knew that much, but we imagined what he or she would look like. And I was waiting for the manifestation of that son or that daughter, and I was expecting each day grew with new signs of life. And as the size of the baby grew, I knew it was not far away. It was comforting to feel the movement, but it remained a mystery until the day it would be revealed. So it is now. We're beginning to sense the wind of the Holy Spirit, and we don't know where it's coming from or where it is going. We only know that it feels wonderful. As we get closer, there are more and more signs. We feel it can't be far away. It's like when a rain is on its way. First, the temperature kind of drops, and then we begin to feel a breeze pick up, at least in Florida, where I'm from. We look up and see clouds are starting to get darker and full of wind, and a cool breeze is blowing, and we know that at any moment it's going to pour. Women rush out to their clothesline to get the laundry down, and people make sure all their windows are closed. There's a short time of preparation, and I always hated the way it rains in Florida. You can leave the house and it can be a clear day, and suddenly in the middle of shopping or running around, here comes the rain, and it's too late to run home and make sure everything's taken care of. See, we have to prepare now. We must make sure our garments are taken care of, because the rain could come at any time and catch us unaware. Church, if you can't see that by looking at the news, that this thing's going to come fast and furious, then you're not making yourself ready. We have to ask God to judge us now. We have to seek Him diligently about the condition of our own heart. Let Him reveal to us the secret places that we don't know. Remember that with God, we cannot claim ignorance. His door is open at all times, and we can know what we want to know. There's coming a day that He will judge the world in righteousness, and if the believer scarcely makes it in, the Bible says, where will the unbeliever stand? We're all going to give account on Judgment Day, and we want to make sure we have done all we can to be pure. And if we fall on that rock, the Bible says, then we will break into pieces. But if we don't fall on that rock, then the rock will fall on us and crush us into powder. We want to fall on that rock. Don't wait for the hammer to fall. Let Him judge you now. You may crumble as you throw yourself on the rock as He reveals things that are harmful to the natural man, but helpful to the spirit man. Self-revelation can be painful, but in your crumbling process, you'll become acquainted with the rock because you'll become a part of it. And the small pieces of your life lay on top and become a part of the rock itself. He is that rock. That rock that followed them was Christ. Praise His name forever. All things work together for good. And when you're fully expecting, nothing else can capture your attention for very long. Nor does anything else come close to grabbing your imagination. And I think God gave us imagination. It helps us with our expectation. You can hardly go through life without it. Young girls dream of their wedding day. Boys dream of their first car. When you become a parent, you dream about your children and what they might become. If they will be a pastor or a doctor. All these are our expectations that are fueled by imagination. And one thing's for sure, when you're earnestly expecting Jesus to show up and you waited and prayed for a long time, you are overjoyed with each new indication of His presence. So I imagine what the fullness of His joy will bring. He said it would bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I imagine Him coming through that clouds on a white horse, anxious to get His bride. And I imagine my home in heaven. What will it be like to see my daughter who's with the Lord, who died at 21 with cystic fibrosis? All of these things help my expectancy level. Jesus knew this, and that's why He told so many parables. This word, these word pictures that He gave us can drive home an understanding and hope as little else will.
This podcast is a production of Brenda Price Ministries. If you enjoyed today's podcast on the series, The Groaning Creation, we encourage you to get the book that goes along with it. That can be found at our website at www.brendapriceministries.weebly.com. That address again is www.brendapriceministries.weebly.com. weebly.com.